A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. He spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered because of lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 30 or 60-fold. Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." The disciples approached him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He said, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because they look, but they do not see. They hear, but they do not listen and understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see.' Fat is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see. Blessed are your ears, because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it." Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown in the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. And the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in the heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. But he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus in today's gospel gives us a hugely important parable that describes the quality of our faith, the quality of our response not only to God's words, but to God himself, who is the word. He said to us today, "Let anyone who has ears to hear listen." And we're called to give him our full attention. And this is hard for us to do today, because we live in an age of a bombardment, a true blitzkrieg of words, of talk radio all over the place, of thousands of books published each day, of newspapers, of magazines, of blogs, of millions of websites, bombarded with words that we begin out of necessity to become selective listeners. We block a lot of it out completely. We only half listen to other stuff. And we take those same habits to the way we listen to the Lord and the gospel. And that's why today Jesus wants to shake us up a little bit, to call attention to how we listen to him and how we respond. Last November, when Pope Benedict released his beautiful and important apostolic exhortation on the word of God and the life and the mission of the church, he wrote with amazement about the fact that God speaks to us, but the fact that God has given us his word. So often we don't reflect on that. We can just take it for granted. He wanted to bring everybody in the church to a real amazement of what this is and what its purpose is. He wrote, By this gift of his love, God bridges every distance and truly makes us his partners, his companions, in order to bring out the nuptial mystery of the love between Christ and the church. St. Paul will write in his letter to the Ephesians that Christ Jesus wished to make us holy. And how did he make us holy? Laying down his life out of love for his bride and washing us by water, meaning baptism, as three of our kids will receive after Mass today, by water and the Word. This is how we become fit to become Jesus' bride. Every word that Jesus says is essentially the word, "Will you marry me?" Pope Benedict continues, "In this vision, every man and woman appears as someone so beloved to whom the word speaks, challenges, and calls to enter this dialogue of love through a free response. Each of us is thus enabled by God to hear the word and respond to it. We are created in the word and we live in the word. We cannot understand ourselves except through this dialogue with the word. The Word of God discloses the filial and relational nature of new human existence, that we're beloved sons or daughters of God, and that we're called to live in communion with God and others. We're indeed called by grace to be conformed to Christ, the Son of the Father, and in him to be transformed. The Word is meant to transform us as we enter in communion with God through the Word." Pope concludes, "In this dialogue with God, we come to understand ourselves and we discover an answer to our heart's deepest questions." That's what the Word of God is meant to do. That's what its power is. But we got to ask ourselves, how do we receive that Word? Do we receive it like a bride, as soon as a potential bridegroom gets down on a knee, takes a hand and is about to pop a question? Do we listen with those attentiveness as if we've been waiting our entire life for this? Or when God drops down on a knee, are we sort of looking around and being distracted or letting those, "What did you say?" those words just pass us by as if they're not important. Jesus gives us that parable to help us to decipher where we are on that spectrum, how we actually are responding, what type of soil we have to the seed of his word that he's sowing. He's the sower, of course, who went out to sow his seed, which is the word. And as we saw at his own time, there were the four different types of receptivity. We see those who heard the word of God on rich soil and responded to him, following him on the path of sanctity and bearing much fruit. Who were these? Certainly the Blessed Virgin Mary. We see St. Mary Magdalene. When she met the word, she left behind a life in which she was wrapped by demons to cling to the Lord. We see it in the life of St. John, who heard those words at his boat, "Come, follow me," and left his boat immediately and continued to remain faithful to Christ all the way to the cross. But we also see those who received among thorns. They wanted to follow the Lord. They could have borne much fruit. But instead, the lure of riches or worldly anxieties dragged them away from the Lord. What do we see here? We obviously see the rich young man who came up to Jesus saying, "What do I have to do to inherit heaven?" Jesus said, "Keep all the commandments." And he received it with joy and said, "I've done this from the time I was a little boy." But he recognized something was missing. He said, "What more do I lack?" Jesus says, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have, give the money to the poor, you'll be rich in heaven, and then come follow me." The lure of riches, however, was stronger than that invitation of Christ. He kept on to his stuff rather than cling to Christ. And that's why the word of God wasn't able to bear fruit in him. We also see it obviously in the life of Judas, who had initially said that yes to the Lord, who had been following the Lord as one of the 12, who had cast out demons in the Lord's name, who had raised people from the dead in the Lord's name, who had done all types of miracles in the Lord's name. But then the lure of those 30 pieces of silver, "What will you give me if I hand them over to you?" became stronger than the lure of love to the Lord. We also see that superficial rocky soil. So many of Jesus' disciples followed him for 2 years, until he started to talk to them about the Eucharist, that they needed to gnaw his flesh and drink his blood. And at that point, off they went, because their faith really hadn't been rooted deeply. Because I believe in you, Lord, I will believe in what you say, even when it challenges me to go against what I think is the way things are or ought to be. We also see this type of soil in 10 of the apostles, right? Who had received the word of God with great joy, but when the going got tough on Holy Thursday and Good Friday, they were nowhere to be found. When persecution arose, they scampered. So we shouldn't think, if we've got that superficial soil, that we're necessarily bad. But the Lord's calling us to something more, much more. Finally, we see in the gospel all those who received the word of the God on hardened soil. Who were they? They were supposedly the most religious people of the day. The scribes and the Pharisees, those who studied the law, those who fasted 3 times a week, those who prayed 3 times a day scrupulously. When Jesus was trying to preach to them the word of God, they wanted nothing to do with it. Their ears were closed. They were only listening in order to try to trap him in his speech. So we see all 4 types of the soil then, and we still see them today. There are still many with hardened soil, hardened either by repeated habits of sin or hardened because of stubborn adhesion to routines where the seed cannot penetrate. The word does no good. The readings at Mass, the words of the homily, the presence of the Bible at home really don't change a thing. If we approach the word of God with the attitude, "I'm right, God's wrong," the word of God can't transform us. If we approach the word of God saying, "I've heard that before, let's get it over with and move on," then we're listening with hardened soil. Jesus in the gospel today quotes the prophet Isaiah, and at first it's a little shocking. Isaiah says, "This people has ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see," because they don't want to hear and they don't want to see. Because if they really saw and they heard and received it with their heart, then they could come to me and be converted and I could heal them. But when we don't listen to the word of God with that desire to be changed, with the desire to be converted, we're shutting ourselves off from what God wants to give us and all its power. Rocky soil, who are these? These are those who initially receive the word with joy, but it doesn't go deep. In the ancient world, in the Holy Land, when Jesus was using this image, they all readily grasped it, because much of the Holy Land has a layer of limestone a few inches beneath the soil. And so when a seed would be planted there, the water that would come on down, and there's not all that much water, it would be trapped in those few inches of soil. It would immediately help to nourish those roots, and the plant or the flower would immediately sprout up. But when it was trying to go deeper, it couldn't, because it couldn't penetrate that level, that layer of rock. Jesus was using that image for those of us with a superficial response to his word. We hear the word initially with joy, but it can't penetrate that rocky layer. Why? Because we don't pray it down there. The only way to burrow through that rocky layer is by listening attentively and prayerfully helping it to go deeper into our life. Pope Benedict calls this process Lectio Divina, a sacred reading, in which he calls us to prepare for the Word of God by reading the lessons before we come to Mass so that we can't be distracted, so that we can hear more. And then over the course of the week, to consistently reflect on this word and apply it to our life, asking 4 things. First, what does the word say in itself? Second, what is God saying to me through this word? Third, what do I need to say to God in response to this word? And fourth, how is this word supposed to change me to live together with that word? Those 4 stages. When we begin to do that, the word has a chance to go deep in us and not be lost when the persecution or the tough times come. We need to apply that word more and more to our life and see the ways that the Lord's asking us to change. The 3rd type of soil Jesus describes as thorny soil. It's where you try to throw seed where there are already a bunch of thorny weeds growing. And what does he call those weeds, those thorns? He says, fears and anxieties on the one hand, and the pleasures and the lure of riches on the other. And we all know that from our own experience. If we come to try to hear the word of God with something weighing on us, a family member who's ill or dying, the fact that we're unemployed and are constantly looking for a job, or if we come with our desires somewhere else, oh, I wonder how the Red Sox rookie pitcher is going to make his debut this afternoon against the Baltimore Orioles. I wonder if I'm going to get out of here in time to get a nice parking spot down at the beach or at the restaurant. If we come to Mass with those types of fears or anxieties or desires, we're going to be distracted from hearing the word of the Lord. We won't be able to pay attention. Otherwise, we'd have good soil, but we're just not going to grasp it. How do we overcome this? We overcome it by taking these supposed distractions and making them attractions to the Lord. By literally taking them to the Lord. Lord, I'm thinking about the beach today, right now as I'm trying to listen to your word. Help me to bask in the sunshine of your holy word so that I am impacted more than I would ever be impacted by a tan on my skin. Lord, I'm really worried about my grandmother who's dying. Please, convince me that you love her more than I do and that everything's going to be okay. And help me to hear those words again, be not afraid. Whatever. When we take those things that show us where our heart is at that moment and we unite them in our heart to the Lord, that's the way the divine gardener takes away those weeds. Not by plucking them out. We'll hear another parable next week that says he's not going to pluck them on out lest we lose good seed. But the way he changes it is he changes weeds into fruit-bearing trees. Fourth and lastly are good soil, which bears not just a little fruit, but abundant fruit. Through uniting ourselves more deeply to God and allowing the power of his word to bear fruit in us, as naturally as an orange tree bears oranges. God used the image through the prophet Isaiah in today's first reading of what he wants the fruitfulness of the word to do in us. For just as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and don't return there until they've watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. When we receive the word on good soil, we bear abundant fruit naturally. For example, when we hear his word on forgiveness, we begin to share that mercy, not just with one person, but over and over again. When we hear his word on being peacemakers, we immediately go out to try to collaborate with the Prince of Peace and spread his tranquility of order. When we hear his word on seeking first the kingdom, we begin to seek him in our study, in our work, in our relationships, in our family life. When we hear his word to chop off our body parts if they are leading us to sin, we face with brutal determination on eliminating from ourselves not just our sins, but their near occasions. And when we hear his word to love others as he loves us, we begin immediately to look around at us, even in church, and ask for the grace to love others here with the same love with which he has loved us. And then we allow that love to overflow and sacrifice for those in our homes, neighborhoods, schools, so that just as Christ's love seeks to lead us to salvation, so we might try to lead them to salvation. This is what good soil does. Bears 30, 60, 100-fold, abundant fruit. It impacts our life, not just in one way or two ways, but in 30, 60, 100, 1,000 ways. Pope Benedict said in Verbum Domini, that apostolic exhortation in the Word of God, that we're called to listen to and respond to the Word of God with obedient faith. And that word obedience comes from the Latin word ab audire, which means to eavesdrop. Basically, to put your ear up against the door so that you don't miss one whispered syllable. To listen that carefully, to hang on the word that much. Faith, which is the response to the Word of God, doesn't merely mean that we believe that something's true, but rather we live it as the truth that sets us free and leads us to happiness. Pope Benedict says, by faith, one freely commits oneself entirely to God. That when we hear the Word of God and respond with faith, we give 100% of our mind and 100% of our heart in response to the Word, our mind and our will. Because it's God teaching us who we are and inviting us into a covenant that will make us truly happy. All of this starts with a real hunger and appreciation for the Word and a real deep reverence for the one speaking to us. The question is, do we listen with that type of obedient faith, or do we take his word for granted? You know, one of the most powerful images in this church was a constant reminder to me, and I hope also to you, of how we're supposed to respond to the Word of God is right above this column here. If you go up to the vault, you see Ninkeri's picture up there of St. Anthony in Rimini, Italy. St. Anthony had gone to Rimini in order to try to convert those who had given in to some of the 13th century heresies. He'd already been successful in various of the villages and towns. And he got to Rimini, went to the city square like he always would, stood up on the stairs of one of the main buildings, and started to preach. And he noticed that most of those in Rimini didn't want to give him the time of day. And so frustrated, after about an hour, he said out loud, "Fine, if you don't want to listen to the Word of God, I'm going to go down to the stream that leads to the sea, and I'm going to preach to the fish there. They will hear the Word of the Lord." And so all these folks who didn't really want to give the Word of God time of day, who had been mocking St. Anthony and heckling him as he had been speaking, decided to follow him just to see what he looked like when he fell flat on his face, what this lunatic's reaction would be speaking to a stream and to the body of water when no fish obviously would listen. And so they tailgated him down there to the little inlet between the stream and the sea, where he began to preach these words. "Hear the word of God, you fish of the sea and of the stream. Since heretics and the infidels are loath to listen to it." His biographer goes on to tell us that all of a sudden, schools of fish in quantities never seen in that area started to come to where St. Anthony was preaching. They started to try to struggle to keep themselves out of the water, all turning toward the voice of St. Anthony. As St. Anthony began to preach about fish in God's plan of salvation, he told them about God's goodness creating the fish of the sea in the days of creation, as we see in the book of Genesis. He said God showed that he loved the fish in a special way by the flood, because whereas the flood drowned everybody else, the fish had a real advantage during the flood. They couldn't drown in the waters of the flood, and so God showed a special love for them. He started to talk about how they were the ones who helped Jesus and Peter pay the temple tax, catching that denarius and spitting it forward when Peter cast his line after the tax collectors had come to ask if Jesus the Master paid that tax. He said they saved Jonah's life, the prophet, for 3 days. Then he said they were main contributors, sacrificial contributors, in two of Jesus' great miracles: the multiplication of the loaves and fish before the resurrection, and the breakfast Christ cooked at Tagba after the resurrection for the 7 apostles on the Sea of Galilee. And at that time, all the fish were continuing to try to keep themselves out of the water with their mouths agape, not even breathing. Anthony looked around and he noticed that many of the people who were there to try to trip him up recognized their creaturely reverence and the way that the fish were honoring the Word of God. And he said, "Blessed be the eternal God, since fish honor him far more than disbelieving men and women." And after witnessing the miracle, people's hearts were moved to contrition over the power of the Word of God and the faith of the preacher, who believed that the fish would listen to the Word of God with great attention. And so they began to give even greater attention than the fish. He was able to stay in Rimini for several days, and many returned to the faith. This is the power of the Word of God. We have to ask ourselves, however, if we ourselves give the Word of God the reverence it deserves, or whether occasionally we treat it like the people of Rimini initially treated it. If St. Anthony were preaching here, not just today, but every Sunday over the course of a given year, and St. Anthony used to preach for 60 to 120 minutes every time he got up. If St. Anthony were here preaching every Sunday, would he conclude that you and I were listening to him with true attention and good soil? Or would he go down to New Bedford Harbor frustrated and seek to start preaching to the marine life? Would he find us or find fish more attentive and hungry and reverential and obedient to God's word? If we're really listening with good soil, with the soil that the Lord wants us to have and will help us to get, we'll be able somewhat easily to point to the way we've been listening to the word of God and to the fruit that's being born in us. Let's just review over the course of the last month and ask ourselves honestly in the light of the Lord whether there's been 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit. 4 weeks ago, we spoke about the power of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost to teach us how to pray as we ought, to bring about true unity in the parish, in the church as a whole, and in our families, to make us saintly disciples and fervent apostles. Are we different than we were 4 weeks ago? Have we started to notice that difference that the Holy Spirit makes? 3 weeks ago, we talked about true adoration of the Blessed Trinity, about putting God first, about giving Him our best, about celebrating His love more than Bruins fans celebrated the Stanley Cup. Have we started to live a true Trinitarian life? Or did those words fall on one of the first three types of soil? 2 weeks ago, on Corpus Christi, we spoke about centering our entire existence on Christ in the Eucharist by worshiping Him at Mass, by adoring Him in Holy Communion and in Eucharistic adoration, and by accompanying Him into the streets. Have you noticed abundant progress? Last Sunday, we spoke about yoking ourselves to Jesus throughout our entire day. Over the course of the last 7 days, have we truly made the effort to yoke ourselves to Jesus? Surely some of us will be able to say yes, 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 yes to these questions, because we do hear the word with good soil, knowing that it's meant to transform us. But many of the rest of us probably forgot even what the readings were. They had no chance to bear fruit, because after Sunday Mass was over, they were over. So today, Jesus wants us to focus on how we're going to hear His word today and what type of fruit we're going to bear. If we haven't borne fruit in abundance on account of His word, we have to be courageous enough to ask why. Is it because we believe with hardened soil that we don't really need the word of God? Is it because we don't pray over the Word of God and allow it to go deep into our lives through meditating on it and applying it to our lives over the course of the week? Is it because of worldly cares and anxieties or other desires have choked its growth despite our attempt to pray over it? The Word of God has the power to make us bear fruit. And the Word over the last month had that power. But we need to respond with that obedience. That real faith. The Word of God has the power to make us great saints. In Verbum Domini, Pope Benedict described that it was the Word of God that really purified the saints and made them holy. Because the saints hung on those words and they acted on it. They didn't just kind of learn it as a subject of study. They received it as a way of life. He describes how the patron of our patron, St. Anthony of the Desert, when he heard God's words at Mass one day, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me," took those words literally, sold his farm, kept a little bit for his sister for whom he was responsible, and then went out to the desert to follow the Lord. talked about St. Francis of Assisi right over there, who heard the word of God, Francis, can't you see my house is falling down? Rebuild it. The Lord was talking about the house of the church as a whole. But St. Francis was going to respond immediately, and he thought the Lord was talking about the dilapidated chapel of St. Damien in which Jesus was speaking to him from the crucifix. So he immediately went to try to get some stones in order to rebuild that church. He acted immediately. Pope Benedict describes St. Therese Lisieux, St. Therese of the Child Jesus, how she scoured the scriptures trying to figure out what God's plans were for her and finally found them in the vocation to be love in the heart of the church with the help of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And she bore fruit the whole rest of her life, fruit of acts of love. Talked about St. John Vianney and the call to the priesthood. Padre Pio of Pietrelcina, and being an instrument of God's mercy. St. Jose Maria Escriva and the preaching of the universal call to holiness. Blessed Teresa of Calcutta and the Lord's charity toward all. The word of God was responded to and made them great saints. But the one for whom Pope Benedict reserves his greatest praise and the greatest instructional power of her example is the greatest saint of all, Mary, whom we see throughout the mysteries of the Rosary, but particularly in the Annunciation, as the great model of the interplay between God's word and our faithful response. Pope Benedict says, we need to look to the one in whom the interplay between the word of God and faith was brought to its perfection, the Virgin Mary, who by her yes to the word of the covenant and her mission, perfectly fulfills the divine vocation of humanity. The human reality created through the word finds its most perfect image in Mary's obedient faith, which shapes her life at every moment before God's plan. She was one ever attentive to God's word. She lived completely attuned to that word. She treasured in her heart the events of her son, piecing them together as if in a mosaic. In our day, he then turns to us. We, the faithful, need to be helped to see more clearly the link between Mary and the faith-filled hearing of God's word. Mary is the image for the whole church, an attentive hearing of the word of God which took flesh in her. As we contemplate in her a life totally shaped by the word, totally shaped by the word, we realize that we too are called to enter into this mystery of faith, whereby Christ comes to dwell in our lives. Every Christian believer in some way interiorly conceives and gives birth to the word of God. Even though there is only one mother of Christ according to the flesh, in the faith, Christ is the son of us all. Thus what took place for Mary can take place daily in each of us, in the hearing of the word and in the celebration of the sacraments. Let me just go over what he said in those last couple of sentences. Mary is the only one whoever gave birth physically to the Lord Jesus, to the baby Jesus. But each of us is able spiritually every single day to conceive Jesus in our heart and to become pregnant with Jesus inside, and then to give birth to Jesus in acts of love together with Jesus. That's what we're called to do in our meditation on sacred scripture, in our hearing of the word of God, and in our participation in the sacraments. We're supposed to be far more than octomoms. We're supposed to be trigentomoms and sexagesima moms and centimagesima moms, 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. That's the type of fruitfulness that the Word of God is meant to have in us. That's what we see in Our Lady. That's what we see in the saints. That's what we can see in ourselves, if only we respond with the trust they did to the word of God. In the gospel, Jesus said that his mother, his brothers, and his sisters are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Our greatness as Christians will depend on how well we hear God's word and respond in faith. The word of God has the power to make us great saints, if only we allow it to bear the type of abundant fruit in us that it has the full power to do, if we receive it with the good soil of an obedient faith. Blessed are your ears, Jesus tells us today. So many prophets and righteous people longed to hear what you hear but didn't hear it. What an incredible treasure we have. Let us never take that treasure for granted. After mentioning the example of how the saints became saints precisely because they gave full rein to the Word of God, allowed its full power to erupt within them, Pope Benedict called upon their prayers for himself and for all of us in the church, using words that provide a fitting conclusion to our meditation today. Pope Benedict said, through the intercession of these saints who have become holy by the washing of the Word and by living of the Word, let us ask the Lord that our own lives may be that good soil in which the divine sower plants the Word, so that it may bear within us fruits of holiness, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Word of God, come down on earth.